Today on This Week in Pop, the movies that come after the first movie. They're called sequels.
Sequels.
I like it.
Good.
Are they memorable for good reasons or bad reasons?
I like the bad ones.
Also, TV cancellations.
Yes.
Are they going to come back?
Some shows are never going to be seen from again, and some may find a new home, like a adopted family.
Good riddance.
Welcome to This Week in Pop. I am Tommy West.
Hello. See? I did it better.
And I'm Caitlin.
I waited till after you were done. Mm-hmm. I was present.
Yes.
You didn't say your name, though.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Ah.
You gotta get better. I have some
the
notes.
Next one. I'll get the next one.
Yeah.
Third
next
time's
one.
A charm.
The network has some notes on that one. That's...
Tommy's gonna yell at me after.
Yeah. We can edit around you. We can just like paste in other people saying their names. Instead.
Bonjour.
Yeah. It is a very interesting week, to say the less. Actually, before we started this, we were discussing and doing our show prep.
Diligence.
Yeah. We were preparing to talk to the audience. And a lot of the stuff that's going on are people going in and out of jail. But there's other stuff happening sort of, too. And other stuff that, we can go get into that. I could just jump right in, actually, from there, if that works. Which, by the way, before we do that, completely unrelated, because clearly I planned this all out. I guess pleasantly surprised. Last week we were talking about Fast 9 was coming into theaters, and then It sounds like it did well in theaters. And
it drove into theaters. Tommy, you missed it. That was your chance.
I missed my
It was not a car crash. Yeah, it's very weird. I didn't think that a Fast and Furious movie would be the movie that people would be like, yes, we are back in the theaters.
Yeah.
This saved movies.
Yes. Single-handedly.
Not according to Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel knows best.
Yeah.
He saved us.
What's fun?
Yeah. Made a decent amount. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I guess, I don't know. A Quiet Place also made a decent amount. Would have made like 50 million, 60 on its opening weekend. So
yeah.
I'm not that surprised. I don't get why like people are saying, oh, this is it. Like it kind of happened already. Like A Quiet Place 2 kind of brought people back into the theaters. I don't want to give Vin Diesel that credit. I want to give it to Krasinski.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, I guess the other thing too is like, I mean, it's almost, I think here's the difference, right? A Quiet Place 2 is a sequel to like a sleeper hit that kind of came out. No one expected it to be as big as it did, and it did really well. Mm-hmm. And then immediate sequel kind of thing. It's literally called Fast 9. Like they're not even calling it. Like they're just giving up on words in the title now. It's a joke. The whole concept of the fact that it's like the ninth version.
I do love that. There's no title. Just let's the ninth one. There's Fast. I'm going to lunch.
And also people were just going, I feel like people were just like, all right, well, I'll go and see it just because I want to see how bad it's going to be.
Yeah. People have been cooped up for so long. They're like, look, I'll go see the ninth installment of Fast and Furious.
No, because
Ludacris, Magnet, yes.
During quarantine, they watched the first eight.
Yeah, exactly.
Like literally, I know somebody who did that. So
see, I love
for their entire quarantine. Yeah. That's all they did.
Yeah.
See, it makes sense. Like, you know, it's funny, like obvious. And it's kind of funny because Coming to America did the same thing where like at least they played with the title in the second one. It was like Too Fast, Too Furious. You know, now they're just like, I don't know, Fast 9. Is that a reference to anything? No, just I don't know. Just it's fine. Just F9. That's
it was we'll, like the placeholder. Yeah. And then they were just like, whatever.
That's a beautiful thing. I love that. That's very Hollywood, and I'm very much into it. Yeah. Next time, it'll just be not Fast, it'll be F10.
Yep.
Not Fast, just F10.
And then
it just reminds me of hotkeys on your keyboard.
That's like, what it's going to be. That'll be the logo. The logo will just be that.
F10. actually, I guess that's the thing. If we're coming up with better titles for the next impending Fast and Furious movie, it's the 10th. So how do you title that? Like you go FX?
Oof.
Like
I don't know.
Or F.
Oh, well, yeah, and then you can tie it into the XXX movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I kind of like that. Yeah. Get his alter ego character, whatever his name was, Xander Cage, which is fantastic. Have him meet Toretto, twin brothers. They're all about family. He's got a twin brother. I like this, guys. This is it.
Got it.
I don't know.
We can end it now. We're good.
Yeah. You think? I mean, at what point do they stop making those movies? That's the real.
Never. This is never going to end.
Just forever.
This is our nightmare.
I'm excited when they get to number 12, so they can like wordplay with a dozen, and then when they get to 13, they could do like a baker's dozen.
Whoa. So.
They're gonna get into the baking business. This is gonna be like they're gonna make bagels. Why not?
Baker's dozen.
Go into space. They can open a bakery.
Did they end up in space at some? I don't. This is why I don't.
I'm sure they will.
I guess we should make this a feature here.
Oh, wait, that's what it should have been. It should have been like for the ninth.
This
one,
is all Caitlin wants to think about.
It should have been something along the lines of like Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean,
movies. You're movie too late, but next time.
I know.
Whoever's job it is to come up with the titles, you've already done in this like 5 minute segment more work than they did on the actual movie.
It took us what, like 5 minutes of brainstorming to think of better titles.
This is kind of like the thing that's the issue where I don't know if you've seen them lately, but the movie posters that they've been making lately for just any movie have been so horrendously bad and so lazy and uninspired. It's just it's a joke. I don't get it. And, you know, with Photoshop is making these movie posters, and they're just they make me not want to see the movie, which makes me mad.
Yeah,
because I like going to see movies.
Well,
be careful, because this is how employers are going to be like, this is why you should come back to the office. Collaboration.
God.
In person.
That's going to be it. It's going to be, you want to, this is what, you know why we need to go back to the office? Did you see the title to Fast 9? That's why.
That's why.
That's the single-handed reason as to why we all have to go back to the office. I was going to say, I guess we should make this a part of the show, which makes sense. But this weekend, three movies coming out. Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised. I don't know that one, Maxwell. Do you?
Yeah, it was I believe it was at a Tribeca about like the rise of soul music back in the 60s and 70s. I have not seen it. I heard it was great. Questlove is a producer from the Roots and the Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
I have heard good things, but I did not get to see it at a Sundance. I think Tribeca it was at as well.
Yeah. Almost surprised that that's getting that's considered a wide release. And then the two big movies this weekend going into 4th of July, which I'm almost surprised it's this small of a, like, just two movies. I mean, I get it. Obviously, we're like, you know, we've talked about why clearly because of COVID, but like you have the Forever Purge, which is like, talk about like never ending sequels.
Oh, yeah.
Yet another sequel to The Purge. And then The Boss Baby Family Business, which which
I made for me.
I have a question. Did and I just from listening to like watching the trailer, is Alec Baldwin not the voice of the baby anymore?
Wait, I thought he was. I thought that is his voice.
I thought it was too, but I was like watching the trailer. I'm like, that is like clearly kids who are going to see this and are like, oh man, I gotta go see the sequel because that's how kids talk. I was like, to them, I don't think they noticed. Oh, no, he still is the voice. He just sounded different. Yeah, he was definitely sounding. God.
Well, the baby got older.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, no. His voice matured.
Yeah.
Baby carries the movie. Without the baby, not going to see it.
Do you know who the new, because obviously the whole concept is now there's a younger sister or like there's a sister
there's
involved
a newborn.
Now. Do you know who the sister is now?
No.
I do not.
Amy Sedaris.
Oh, wow. Actually, I don't mind that. I like that. That's good. She is like the one role in, she had a one little bit part in Broad City. That's the one episode I rewatch all the time. She was the realtor trying to find the apartment for Abby and Alana. That's the one episode I watch on repeat. I like that. I do. I like that she's the getting other roles. So good for her.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised based off of those movies. I am very surprised why Disney decided not to put Black Widow along with those movies. Because like 4th of July.
It's a 3-day
blockbuster
weekend.
I am very, that's shocking to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, which then that's what I was going to say too, is like, so next weekend we have Black Widow, which is, but to that point, yeah, I don't know, like, what were they afraid of? Like, what is, like, oh yeah, but I mean, we can't compete with the Boss Baby. We can't
put it up against Boss Baby.
Clearly crossover audience, which, by the way, side note, the Black Widow, Black Widow, some of the initial reviews coming out actually really positive, which I was not necessarily surprised by. But they, a lot of the reviews kept mentioning how it seems a little bit, it's a little bit darker toned from the other Marvel franchise stuff. So I'm kind of more interested.
I feel like that one, I feel like they made that just because, you know, they were like throwing Scarlett Johansson a bone. Like, okay, we'll give you a movie.
Yeah, we can't end her here, you know.
No.
So
I don't know. I like that they're going darker tone. I mean, like, yeah. I feel like Marvel movies kind of have hit this stride where they're, you know, they're amazing, but they're all kind of the same. Like, yeah. I'm looking forward to the fact that the new Doctor Strange that's going to be directed by Sam Raimi is actually going to be slightly horror themed, which to me is fantastic. I would love to see that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's cool. So to me, like, one of the things like they do is they, this is like to me the curse of the mummy. So I'm always going to go back to the mummy. So Tom Cruise made that the Dark Universe they wanted to make, like Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, the Swamp Thing, the Mummy. Yeah. And the Mummy was supposed to kick that off. And I thought, fantastic. They're going to make a horror themed universe. That's what I'm dying to see. And then that movie comes out. It's a turd and it's nothing to do with horror. It's just Tom Cruise running around, which sucked. I would hope that Marvel would branch out and make these different type of like genre films. Yeah. And I feel like that's what they're hoping to do. So I hope Black Widow is a little darker, a little more gritty. I hope Doctor Strange has some horror. It'd be nice to, you know, branch out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what always, like, going back into like, and who's directing the other movie you were talking about? The Doctor Strange movie?
Sam Raimi. Evil Dead. Yeah. The old Spider-Man movies.
Well, I was going to say too, is like early on, obviously, like Jon Favreau doing Iron Man was like, you know, like that was their first one where it's like, oh, what are you doing here? Jon Favreau in a superhero movie? Like it was kind of, you know,
strange choice. Yeah,
it was
at the time.
Yeah. And I think now it's kind of funny because obviously they had a lot of sort of safe choices later, because like once they got into the groove, I think going Sam Raimi again. But remember who was supposed to do Ant-Man that ended up like leaving Edgar the project. Wright. Edgar Wright, which to this day, I'm still kind of like, I'm sort of interested on what a Edgar Wright Ant-Man would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Marvel rarely, well, I guess on the surface, they say they rarely meddle with what they want to do, but they clearly have a vision, or Kevin Feige has a vision of what they want to do. So they, I guess on the surface, they say they don't, but they probably do have a certain way they want to do things. And I don't think Edgar Wright was willing to play ball.
Yeah.
Or as Peyton Reed, who's, he's a good filmmaker, but you know, he's sort of, you know, basic, you know, I guess he's willing to play ball. Whereas Edgar Wright, I think, wants to do things his way. They said no, and he, you know, went his way.
Yeah.
So, but I agree. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to get more out there filmmakers like Taika Waititi's fantastic. Even Kenneth Branagh for the first Thor was a strange choice, but that turned out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're doing a better job at getting various directors like Chloe Zhao from Nomadland. The fact that she's directing the Eternals out in November is fantastic and strange and very cool. So I mean, I think they're doing a better job at getting better visionary directors to do their own thing.
Well, I was going to say, do you guys have, I mean, you know, there's like Shane Black did like one of the Iron Mans, right? Like, and I guess it's kind of interesting to look back and like, think about it, like what a, difficult, no, not difficult, that's the wrong word, but like what a odd choice what's his name was for Guardians of the Galaxy,
James Gunn
was at the time, where it was like, oh well, this guy with the guy from the movie with Dwight from The Office, like playing a random superhero.
Super and Slither. But I mean, the thing is, James Gunn is a nerd. Like, people who know James Gunn know that he's a comic book nerd. Like, he knows everything about that world. To me, that's not the strangest choice to give Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, given I knew nothing about that comic book at the time, if I hear James Gunn's directing a movie, I want to go see it. But you know, if I hear Kenneth Branagh's gonna go direct a movie, I'm not really gonna go running.
Well, I was,
I mean, Shane Black, like, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, you can continue. Where I'm going with this is from a purely aesthetic, from a director, like the stuff the director actually has impact on, right? Take the story out of, I mean, I'm washing this a little bit, but is there the both of you, like Caitlin and Maxwell, like, do you guys have a favorite out of the whole MCU? Do you have a favorite director of how they handled it?
Yeah, I do. Caitlin, I'll let you go first because mine will be unpopular.
Actually, I don't. I don't really tie the films with a director. Like, yeah. I can't even name, like, what you guys all just said right now. I'm like, I didn't know that he directed that movie.
Well, part of it's Wikipedia in front of me, so I'm not fully. I mean, I still forget. No,
I'm in my head.
I know.
He's an encyclopedia.
Yeah. But that is what I do. The opposite of you, Caitlin. Like, I always tie up the director because when I watch movies, I think about the person who directed it and the vision that they had.
Yeah.
And that for me happened very early on, like with David Fincher and Wes Anderson and Paul Thomas Anderson. Like, I see their vision of what they're trying to pull off, and either it's a success or it's not. Mm-hmm. And for me, the thing with the Marvel stuff is the movie that I like the most that people really don't tend to like a lot is, Tommy, what you mentioned earlier, Shane Black doing Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
I love Shane Black. I love everything he does. I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Yeah. I even loved his version of Predators, which people, the Predator, which people hated. I still liked it. Iron Man 3 to me is one of my all time favorites. I like that all his movies are set in Christmas. I love the dry, even drier humor he injected into Tony Stark.
Yeah.
To me, that was one of my all time favorites. With it's maybe a tie between that and Taika's Thor.
Yeah. Ragnarok. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, if I had to choose, that would have been my favorite, like, direct pairing of director and movie.
Yeah. Well, Thor, I feel like it was that movie? Because I wasn't a fan of the Thor movies really up until he took that on. And I mean, he sort of single-handedly changed the Thor character into a little bit of a it went from like this, you know, massive god and power and like just this kind of goofball. Like, for the rest of the Marvel movies, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, he injected the humor.
He's a normal guy. Yeah. He just happens to be a guy. Yeah.
No, definitely Thor 2. And I forgot who directed Thor the Dark World. I think that, again, was an example of a director who maybe had a certain vision and Marvel kind of stepped in and said, no, we want to do it this way. Yeah. I think it was the guy who did a lot of Game of Thrones stuff. Alan Taylor.
Yeah.
Is his name. I did have to look that one up because I did not remember that because it's a forgettable movie. Taika definitely stayed the essence of what the Thor character and that franchise is supposed to be within the Marvel world. He absolutely saved it. And there's a reason why he's directing the next one, because people loved Ragnarok and they want more. So that's what we're going to get.
I appreciate that.
thank you, Taika.
And it's exciting. I'm just reading this too. Speaking of the next Thor movie, Thor: Love and Thunder, which is coming out next year. Which, where does that line up with the rest of the movies? Is that coming before or after the Doctor Strange sequel?
I think the whole point is, I think WandaVision and Loki are supposed to set up the next Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
and then that's going to take us, I think, into Thor, into the next world. So it's going to be the 10 rings, then what's coming out, and Shang-Chi, I think, is what it is, and the 10 rings. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, the Eternals, and then we get into Doctor Strange, and then Thor. I believe that's the order.
And then isn't Spider-Man somewhere in there?
Yes, Spider-Man is somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I believe it's between Eternals and Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Eternals and Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of movies coming out.
Yeah.
Lots to keep track of.
They got backed up a little bit there.
I'm happy it's all coming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely especially if you go back to like the last Spider-Man movie opened up a little bit more, but it was still kind of like looking back and like, oh man, I really miss, you know, Tony Stark. But I'm kind of skeptical about the future. Although, like, there's all this, I mean, who knows what the hell is going to happen with the Doctor Strange movie? Cause, like, you know, Tobey Maguire is coming back. It's like there's a weird casting stuff all happening there.
The multiverse.
That's before Doctor Strange. That's going to be in the new Spider-Man. Oh. We're getting that.
Oh,
yeah. That's where they're all coming together. And I mean, that's the beauty of what they're trying to do, is the fact that they can really bring back anyone at this point.
Yep.
You know, should they get Chris Evans?
Explain it away.
Exactly. Like, multiverse. It's okay.
Yeah.
So if they want to get Robert Downey Jr. back, if they want to get Chris Evans back, they kind of can. And that's a pretty cool thing to me.
Yeah. Oh, are they gonna,
do you want to? Oh, sorry. I was going to say, do you want that can flow into sequels.
Yes. If you want. My only last question was, will the multiverse bring back Terrence Howard?
No, that will never happen. As much as you want it to. I know how much you love T-How. That ain't happening. I'm sorry.
Wouldn't it be funny if they did that, though? Like, all of a sudden, like here comes Tobey Maguire, here comes everybody else, and all of a sudden, here comes Terrence Howard.
And they're like, no!
Yeah, and he just comes out
there.
He just comes out and he like complains they're paying me at scale, and then just goes back into a ring.
Yeah. Oh God, he must be so bitter. That definitely is one of the most bitter men out there.
That's my funniest thing, where he's like, "This isn't going to go nowhere. You pay me what I'm worth," and they're like, "Yeah, we're just gonna." Because he wanted his argument at the time was like, "I deserve as much as Robert Downey Jr." Yep.
It's like, yeah, and he definitely did not.
Well,
not because who he is, just in terms of the role, just wasn't there yet, you know?
Yeah.
War Machine did not exist.
Yeah.
I do want to say one thing. Yes. So this week, a few days ago, I had watched the movie Life.
Yeah.
Which was that space movie with like Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal. Came out in 2017. And they were on this mission. They're at the International Space Station and they were connecting with a smaller ship that had picked up a life form on Mars, like a microscopic living
organism
molecule. Yeah. Organism or whatever. And then basically it ends up like killing everybody on the spaceship. But
spoilers.
To tie this all together,
yeah.
There I was reading about it after I watched it, and they said that when the trailer came out for that movie, a lot of Marvel fans noted. There's like one Marvel fan in the world that noticed that it reused footage from one of the Spider-Man movies, like people looking up at the sky. And then they were like, oh my God, this movie is going to launch into Venom. And like, cause it's like this weird,
movie or in the trailer?
No, in the movie, like it was going to set up and lead into Venom, because the creature, the organism that they pick up from Mars ends up like basically like trying to be a host.
Yeah.
In people's bodies and like goes and crawls into their mouth and stuff. And
but basically the studio were lazy and needed a pickup shot.
Exactly. It was like a reference on the Wikipedia article. So I read the original article where they were speculating about this footage. And I'm like, this is so funny because none of this is true. This didn't come to fruition. Everybody's just grasping at straws.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
Just so everyone was so movie excited. Studio can lead to, like we said, fan fiction because people hope, but nope.
I do get annoyed. Yeah. I will say I do get annoyed in forums and stuff when people like for especially like old TV shows, like if you're on like the subreddit for like The Office, people are like, you know, do you think The Office would have been closed for COVID or would they? And I was like, no, they wouldn't, because it's a fucking TV show. Like, stop. Like, just let it go.
Ooh, that goes into how all of the TV show. Well, not all, but a lot of TV shows that aired this past this spring or this past winter and spring.
Yeah.
A lot of the episodes included storylines about COVID and like people wearing masks and like they'd throw in lines of like, if it was a scene where they're not wearing masks, they'd be like, oh yeah, we just finished our 2 weeks of quarantine. Yeah. We're safe. And I'm like, I am bombarded with this on the news in real life. I don't want
trying
to see
escape.
It on the TV shows that I watch.
Well, even funnier, wasn't there that weird NBC attempted comedy that was based around COVID? Does anyone? No, it was literally a show where it was all like virtual. It basically like took place on a Zoom. That was the entire concept of the sitcom because they filmed it all separately.
No, there was a Parks and Rec reunion that was based on.
Yes,
that, that's what I was just gonna say too.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't know if there was a show. If there was, it's not gonna work. I don't think it ever could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I gotta find out the name of that show. Oh, it was called Connecting. It was called Connecting. It was canceled after four episodes. Set against the backdrop of the COVID-19 pandemic. This series
was it NBC?
It was NBC. Like an NBC show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The series follows the lives of a group of friends who try to stay connected via video telephone as they navigate through the various nuances of life in a lockdown.
Can you imagine having a Jim and Pam? Will they, won't they, over Zoom?
Oh, God. Man. It's like one of those things where it's like, no, like, did they think like, oh, man, this is my life. This is us. This is what life is like. It's like, no, don't please. We don't want to remember this. Like,
exactly.
I kind of want to watch this now.
Yeah. Good luck, because it was canceled. Wait, what was the cancellation? It was canceled after four episodes. The remaining episodes were released on NBC.com.
All right, there you go. That's your assignment.
Never see it again in the abyss of NBC.com.
Oh, man.
Not even Peacock. NBC.com.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
Man. wait, it has an average. It has a 67%. Average rating on Rotten Tomatoes, though, so maybe we're missing something. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
hidden gem.
No, it's not.
Turn it into like a cult classic.
No, not even close. We're not gonna give it any. We can't. We were talking about sequels, and we wanted to talk about sequels. Then we blew past the attempted segue.
Why are we talking about sequels?
Yeah, why are we talking? I don't even know.
This is our second episode. Yes.
Thanks for reminding me. I don't pick up on nuance at all.
They'll get it.
Yeah. But it is our second episode. And Maxwell.
Yes.
Yes. As our second episode, it is our sequel, which is what you guys were explaining to me just 3 seconds ago. So.
Yes.
Best and worst sequels.
Of all time?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I have several of them.
Okay.
Are we going for best? Are we going for worst right now? What do we want to start with?
Let's do best first. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I'm agreeing with you. Best is okay, worst is more fun.
Yeah. Best is fine. We can start with best. We'll go to worst. That's fine. Best of all time. I got two. I got my top two.
Well, hang on a second. Hang on. I guess it's up to the whoever is deciding here. But is the concept that quote unquote best is like the best rebound? Like, oh, you followed it up with something really spectacular, which is kind of rare, or are we saying like the sequel was better than the original kind of thing?
Oh, that's a good question. I wouldn't want to say it's better than the original. I would just say it's like on par with what the original was.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Not worse. Not like, let's say like equal or better than the original.
Like it still kept the magic of the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got that. Yes. Okay.
And I've got two.
Okay.
My top two.
Okay.
First and foremost, Toy Story 2, which for me all time, because I'm a nerd for Pixar and anything Pixar does. But Toy Story 2 to me was just one of the best in terms of nostalgia and getting to the ideas of like old toys and the fact that like Woody discovers that he used to, like, that's a genius to me that Woody used to be like a popular nostalgic toy.
Yeah.
The fact that Woody itself is valuable. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And a great bad guy with Wayne Knight from Seinfeld being the chicken man from Alice Toy Farm.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Has one of my all-time favorite scenes when the old man comes from, if you can recognize him, he's actually from a short film of Pixar's called Jerry's Game. He comes and fixes Woody. And I feel like that scene alone must have taken so long for them to do because it was so intricate, so detailed.
Yeah.
I just love everything about that movie. So that's all-time best sequel for me is Toy Story 2. On top of that, going the complete opposite direction is one of the best horror movies ever. That's Evil Dead 2. Because to me, that series in its own right is fantastic. But the fact that they did that again and made it so much bloodier and so much better, that's Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell, to me, all-time best Evil Dead 2. Those are my top two.
I like those choices. Those were good.
Thank you.
I have a few on my list. Are we only sticking with like top like two or something? Do I have to narrow this down?
You can go with more. Those are just the two
I wanted.
Okay.
Go with more.
I'm gonna throw one other thing out there because maybe there's like an asterisk on this. When we say sequel, are we talking about just part two?
Yes. To me, I am. Part two.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough. All right. That helps me narrow my list down a little bit. But
for episode three, we can go with trilogies. But for now, two.
Okay.
True.
Fair enough. One of my a few kid movies in here or things like from my childhood, I guess. So and I'm definitely spitballing. This isn't a comprehensive list. It's kind of like the things that popped up first because clearly I don't do show prep. I'm going to start with Short Circuit 2, which is clear.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, that's the first one. Wait. Hang on. I'm not saying it. But here, let me explain. Short Circuit stars I don't know who it stars. I know Ali Sheedy's in there, right? I have to actually look this up now.
Stevie Gutz
and Steve Guttenberg, right? And Fisher Stevens, right? Which we'll hold on that for just a moment. Fisher Stevens playing an Indian man, which did not age well whatsoever. But the concept of that movie was sort of like E.T. meets robots, right? Because it's essentially
is that movie?
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, it takes place at like a science lab that's very generic and you don't even know where in the country they are. And
I didn't even know there was a sequel.
Right.
Not a very good one either.
So the first one, no, it is. No, I'm going to defend this. So
all right.
The first one is, it's very like, you know, the G.W. Bailey, who's also from the Police Academy movies with Steve Guttenberg. He's the military
Stevie
guy.
Stevie Gutz.
Yeah. Stevie Gutz. And like, you know, it's all this like scientists and like the robot run rogue because he got struck by lightning. But I can't stress this enough. It's E.T. with robots. Right. That's clearly the elevator pitch for that movie. Now, part two has nothing to do with the first one, except for two people that show up. And that's the robot. That's Johnny Five, who is alive, and Fisher Stevens as his what's the there's a name for it that I forget, like, but he's wearing like brown face basically the whole movie.
Oh my gosh.
Like appropriating, but like, so he's, and then he's, then he's doing like the Quickie Mart voice the whole movie.
Fisher
Stevens, yeah, didn't age well, right? Just put that aside for a second though. but that's the thing too, the rest of the movie, so the first movie is about like the military's after, they want to shut down Johnny Five. The second one is sort of this very loose, like there's a bank robbery heist involved and Johnny Five wants to live in the city and explore his world. And Michael McKean is like a hustler who's like becomes their best friend. And it's just a much better movie. And like the climax of the movie includes like the soundtrack, like We Need a Hero, which is great. Like, did it like that, like just like very 80s, you know, Johnny Five, like, like he's bleeding out, literally, like his battery pack is bleeding and he's like, you know, battery acid down the street.
It's bad enough that they can't do robots in today's age. Look, to try and pick a movie that has a robot in the 80s, it's just never going to work.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I had that. Another really good one. Also, something I watched when I was a kid, probably way before I should have. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Nice.
Which was much better.
Now you're getting back on track.
Much better than the first one.
Yes.
Very clearly. And then and then the last one. And this is where we're going to. Well, I have two more. I'll throw this one out there because I feel like this is an easy one, but The Dark Knight, which
that was mine.
Okay, I'm stealing them. Saying, well, you can still have it. I mean, Batman Begins was great. I love what they did, like what Nolan did in that entire series. The third one felt a little different, but the second one was like the epitome. Like I'll skip the first one and just watch the second one all the time.
Like the second one, I remember sitting in the theater and watching. I know exactly where I was, who I was with.
Yeah.
And afterward, just being amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then the last one, and this is definitely, I'm going to throw this out there and say, this is without a doubt, a controversial choice. But I'm going to say it anyway, because I don't care. Ghostbusters 2.
Really?
So that was going to be on mine.
Okay.
And then I was like, I don't know. That's like one of the best sequels.
Well, of that series. I mean, that's the thing, too, is like Ghostbusters is a great movie, obviously. But Ghostbusters 2, I don't know. It has like this very warm place in my heart. I think like it's a different, and I love the fact that they kind of took it in a different direction. And, you know, like, I mean, they didn't take it in a different direction. I'm lying. Like, literally, the movie starts out like, we're nobodies again, you know, just for no reason after the first one, after people are literally chanting Ghostbusters.
I read something where a lot of the reviewers were at the time when it was released.
Yeah.
They, you know, it got a lot of negative reviews and they were calling it like 4 men and a baby.
Oh man, that was my other favorite. No, I'm kidding. How many Four Men and a Baby movies? Because didn't they have like Four Men and a Little Lady too? Right? There was a bunch of
that. Three, I do not know.
Wasn't it Three Men? Was it Two Men and a Baby?
It was three.
It was three.
What was one of those guys, Maxwell?
Stevie Goots.
Yeah, Stevie Goots. Yeah, there you go. The 80s.
My boy in the mustache, Tom Selleck. Yeah,
Mr. Selleck. Yes.
I gotta say, Ghostbusters is a franchise I feel like I should like. I never got into those.
Really?
Movies.
Really?
I don't know why.
I like the original ones. I did not like the all-female one.
Yeah.
I don't like any of them. I don't know. I feel like, to me, it just seemed like an odd movie. The pace always seemed weird to me. I love all those guys. I love Harold Ramis. I love all those movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about those 80s comedies that never really struck with me, like Caddyshack and...
Really?
I don't know. Just, I never got into those. Trading Places is like the one exception for me.
Yeah.
Maybe Coming to America too. Maybe it's Eddie Murphy. Maybe I need Eddie Murphy in the movie for me to like it.
I mean, he was supposed to be, in there, but.
Is that true? Was he supposed to be, what's his face? I can't remember his name.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
It's going to bother me now. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson.
He was supposed to play Ernie Hudson's character.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened. Maybe it's too expensive.
I think he went off to go make something else, if I remember correctly. And then also John Candy was supposed to play someone in there, too. And then I got
really?
Cut.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That would make me like it more. That's too bad.
Yeah. I hold weight. I mean, and the thing, too, is right. Like on that list, I put from my 80s childhood, like Ghostbusters and Back to the Future. And the only reason I didn't mention Back to the Future Part 2, which was my favorite as a kid. But I think as I grew up as an adult. Yeah. But I think as I grew up. I started to appreciate the first one.
That is the third one. The first one.
Yeah.
Number two is which one?
Number two is they go to the future, which is 2015, all the way in the future.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Which was
the one thing I remember from that is, didn't they correctly predict who won the World Series at one point in that year? I'm pretty sure they correctly predicted it was going to be like the Cardinals and the Cubs.
It was the Cubs. Yeah.
So they pulled the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Against Miami.
I'm pretty sure they actually won.
Yeah. Which now there's a Miami baseball team.
But you can't say Back to the Future 2 is better than the first one.
That's what I'm saying too. It's like, that's why I was also asking in the beginning.
As sequels go.
Yeah. It's a good sequel. But but it's not better than the first. But does it hold up to like continue that story without dropping the ball, basically? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. I had issue with the third one because I think as a kid, I wasn't a fan of like Westerns. And so it took me growing up a little bit to appreciate a little bit more, but I don't know, ZZ Top dressed in the old West, you know, doesn't really love it that much.
All right. But. Well, so if that was a bad trilogy, well, third installment in a trilogy, then now we can talk about bad sequels.
Well, you didn't give your best, or I stole yours.
No, that was mine. You stole mine.
All right, give us your worst.
Right, yeah, now you gotta go. You gotta go first now, so I don't do that.
Well,
to you.
So I mean, I didn't know the requirements or the qualifications for this answer.
Picking number twos, you mean?
Yeah.
It's okay.
So
it's all right.
First
go ahead.
Thing that I thought of was Home Alone 3.
Oh man.
Basically, 1 and 2. Were amazing.
Yeah.
And then 3, you don't even have Macaulay Culkin in it. And
I don't even consider it a sequel at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then
I will say, sorry, 3 was a repeat watch for me as a kid. I will say that. As much as I hate to admit it, I watched 3 a lot. I don't know why. I must have had it on DVD.
That's like that meme. We have Home Alone at home. We have the VHS at home, and you go home. It's Home Alone 3.
I'm sorry, Caitlin. Go ahead. Sorry, I digress. Go.
Well, then also, I didn't even like. Why did they have to make? I didn't even know that they had like a Home Alone 4, and there's apparently a Home Alone 5.
Oh my God!
Went on way too long.
Kid from 3.
I don't know.
No.
I don't even think it's the same kid.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Kid was a stud.
I think 4 and 5 were straight to video though.
Yeah.
So. What a shame.
And then to bring it back a little more recently, I mean, within the last 5 years, was Zoolander 2.
Oh,
Yeah.
I came out in 2016.
Yeah.
And, that was painful.
And I feel like a lot of I get that nostalgia is very popular.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to leave it alone. And also, I think a lot of times that like movie executives will be like, yeah, let's make a sequel to this movie. Yeah. And it's been so many years since the first movie that nobody cares about anymore.
Yeah.
Not talking about Zoolander, because a lot of people love the original Zoolander. But in a lot of cases, it's like, well, like, why are you making this sequel like 15 years later? Nobody cares.
Well, it was like Anchorman did that too, right? Like where it came back and it's like, all right, now you're just kind of, you're capitalizing on the fact that this became a popular movie after, and now you're just like pandering to that audience who were just like, oh man, Anchorman's the best movie, bro. You know, and now we're just pandering to that audience. What was a really good comedy just got, you know, sucked into the wrong hands and then turned into something like that. But
yeah,
but to that point, like there was like some stuff, you like obviously like Zoolander's there, like the Home Alone thing too. Like there was definitely some sequels that really sucked that, but doesn't like even like it's more of that like direct, like Son of the Mask, right? I was like trying to find some like things to help me out here, which is starring Jamie Kennedy, right? You don't have Jim Carrey anymore.
Wow.
I don't even consider that a sequel, right? To me, that's like, that's not even a sequel. That is a, that's an atrocity, which is like the same thing with like Home Alone 3 and stuff, I think.
Yeah. They should have just titled it something else.
Yeah. And also going through some lists to try to help me out here, to try to like help remind me of some things. There's some stuff
movies that were so bad that you blocked them out of your mind.
No, but like actually more almost the opposite, where it's like, I didn't think that was bad. Like I liked Weekend at Bernie's too. I actually that might have made my best list before, but apparently I'm alone on that. Same thing with like Problem Child 2, which apparently people did not like.
I loved Problem Child 2.
Yeah, Problem Child 2 was fantastic.
I love those movies. Oh my god, those are the best. Yeah. John Ritter classics.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked all those movies, but I don't know. Yeah, Maxwell, you got to go, because I mean there's a very short list for me of sequels that really sucked. Which at this point, essentially, the ones I can really think of that I was like, oh, that was horrific. I'm stuck at Speed 2 Cruise Control. Aside from that, like trying to figure out like. Where there's like
that's
still
like a, that, that's like just, a, that's like that's a good bad one, like that's
just
like
the title
fantastic
alone.
The fact that it's a fucking boat, I can't go past our
beginning conversation. Just the titles alone are amusing.
No. You have Willem Dafoe putting leeches on his body for a solid 3 minutes.
That's
a
the cancer
movie.
I was gonna say that and because I could just get these out of the way. I was going to say that and like Police Academy 2, I didn't think was, they rebounded though. Police Academy 3, much better. Police Academy 4, infinitely, right? They just got better with age, right? Police Academy 2, it's like, oh, what are you doing? Because I think that was
never,
the point. It was sort of in between.
Those. Are they the airplane movies? Like the same guys who made Airplane, do they make those? Is it like same slapstick, like schlocky comedies? Is that what they are?
No, here's the, well, sort
oh, really?
Of. Sort of.
You like, yes.
Well, all right. The first one had a little bit of slapsticky, but it was like sort of like it had like a little bit of heart in there. Number two, they tried to like create a sequel, but it's just this lost to time, terrible sequel. And then three, they're just like, screw it. Like just nothing matters. And they're all cartoon characters at this point. And then just like went full on slapstick, silly, like, you know, and it just got sillier and sillier by the sequel. Part two is just an atrocity. I don't know how they got to three and it was still being released in theaters. You keep in mind, these are terrible movies and they were still being released wide in theaters up until five. Six went direct to DVD or video at that time. But I don't know. I'm like thinking back too, is like, because I'm just trying to think of like what held the core cast, right? And the only other, like the only one that seemed to come up where it's like it held in the core cast was like the Hangover movies, which had like three sequels.
Oh yeah.
And at that point, it was just like, all right, let's just calm it down now. We don't need to keep doing this. How many times can someone black out?
The second and third definitely did not live up to the first one, though. I definitely wouldn't put those on my list in terms of good sequels. They were fine, serviceable.
Yeah.
They did what they needed to do.
Yeah. And I will say, lastly, the one that's last one that's out of my wheelhouse completely, because it's not like a genre I necessarily enjoy, but sort of shocked because I found out recently that there are lots of fans of this one, was Grease 2.
Really?
Wait, there's a lot of fans.
Apparently,
of that one?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I guess there's like that sort of it's so bad it's good kind of like love for it. So I don't know.
Anyway, well, I only have one on my list in terms of bad sequels, because to me, it is the all time bad sequel. Makes no sense. Didn't have to exist, but it's here. And it's I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. To spoil it for everyone, in the first one, they found out what they did last summer. Ooh. And they still know about it. And they're still pissed. And they murder a bunch of kids. And Jennifer Love Hewitt walks around in skimpy shirts. That reason alone is why I will watch it many times.
Yeah.
But yeah, bad, 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 bad movie. Just horrible all around. Made no sense. Just didn't have to exist.
Which one was that set? Like, where was that movie set?
Some sleepy suburban town where they, you know, get drunk and killed a kid. And then a year later, they get haunted by the fact they keep it a secret. Like, we can't tell anyone. And obviously, they get away with it until they start getting killed off one by one. And in the second one, it's more of the same. Same killer, same scenario. It was just bad. So bad.
But you're right.
You should watch it, though. It's great.
I have seen it. And I was going to say, you're right that if it's on TV, I will watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I see that it's on, I won't be like, oh, my God, this is so bad. I'm not even going to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Just because it's bad doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching it. Absolutely. I'll watch. Tommy, you know me. I'll watch anything.
Yeah, he will. And he's dragged me to that, too.
Some of them. So that's my all time worst sequel. That's it. Just the one.
Well, speaking of things that shouldn't have been made, is that a good say? I'm going to just try to get a second. We're running out of time, so I'll just try to
this podcast
rush through it. Yeah. Oh, man. Aww. No, that's not what I meant. Oh, wow. Okay.
Sorry. Didn't mean it.
So I'm very offended.
Is there going to be a trilogy of episodes? Who knows?
The third one's going to go direct to DVD is what we're going to. So a bunch of TV shows have been canceled. And some people are very upset about these things, and some people are not so upset about it. NBC ended up cutting at least two shows that had some built-in audiences that seem to be looking and trying to. It's kind of funny because years ago, when a show would get canceled, the idea of like going to Hulu or going to Netflix was like, oh man, I wish that could happen. And then it started happening. Now it's almost like industry standard. Like if a network canceled, it's like, all right, cool. We're going to go shop it to all the other services. So
I like that, though. I like that they can do that.
Yeah.
You don't like that?
I do. And especially if like some of those, if like for instance, and this is kind of cutting into it, but like Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which was that musical show on NBC, got canceled. I guess also with a cliffhanger, apparently, which is not great when you have like a built in audience like that. And so I don't know if it's that show necessarily, but I know some of these shows are like playing on like Peacock or Hulu or something like that, where people have been binging them. So now the network, those like other services kind of know what the audiences would be if they ended up picking it up for another season.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think. That show that did really great last summer when we were all stuck at home, was it called Yes? Or what was the one like with the stalker guy on Netflix? Her?
Oh, you.
Oh,
you. No, you. Yeah. I was like, yes, you. I knew it had a Y in it. That was a show on Lifetime that Lifetime was like, yeah, we're not going to make another season. And then Netflix
Wait,
is
was
like,
it really?
Yeah. The first season was on cable television. You didn't know about it.
I had no idea.
Exactly. That's what they wanted you to think. And so
power Netflix.
Yeah. And so they brought it back and then it became like a huge hit, and which is also kind of funny to think about, like, hey, Lifetime, you had that. That was yours. And which also explains why that show like took a weird second seed. Like, oh, he moved to L.A. because it's cheaper to film in L.A. for Netflix. But we're going to cut the cost and give you another season. So NBC canceled Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. A lot of people are doing that. And then Good Girls, which is also starring her, and
Egg.
Yeah, Egg. And then two other people. I forget. I keep forgetting their names.
Retta.
Retta.
Parks and Rec. And right. Christina Hendricks.
That's the one. I always forget the last
from
one.
Mad Men.
So those shows are now looking for, and I think Manifest. Is it Manifest? Is the one that looking
yes.
for one?
That is one actually I started binging on Netflix, and I don't hate it. I thought yeah. I would.
Wait, is that the one with the airplane?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Takes off. It yes. lands from Jamaica to New York, and they've been missing for five and a half years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The acting is horrible, but the premise is cool. It's got like a lost premise, yeah. and mm-hmm. I'm sticking with it. I want to see where it goes.
Yeah,
I could see how that would do better with streaming.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
being able to binge it.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So I think that's definitely why it's finding a second life. And I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix buys that show. I mean, it's one of those things where it could become a serial. You know, there were 150 passengers on the plane. They can make an episode, you know, just with each passenger, and yeah. there's, you know, your five seasons right there.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and with that show, to your point, like it's because especially since that's where you picked it up, it's been on Netflix and they're trying to convince Netflix to pick it up because they're like, hey, Netflix, like, you know how many people have been watching it. So give us some monies. Give us some stimulus.
I mean, I'm sure I'm one of like the thousands and thousands of people who don't yeah. have cable. You know, yeah. I watch my shows when they're on streaming. So it's yeah. a smart thing for Fox or NBC or ABC. If they have a failed show, try and get it on streaming. Let it pick up viewers that way. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to subscribe to a Fox streaming site. So it makes more sense for them just to sell it to Netflix and see how it goes from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I barely bought Peacock as it is, but you know, these cable companies are going to have their own streaming sites sooner or later.
Yeah.
And then it's become a cable over again, you know,
yeah.
gonna have
exactly
all 85 subscriptions to streaming.
The
sites.
Whole point of cutting cable. Yes. And then
yeah.
now you end up paying more. Bring for all of it. The individual services.
Yeah.
They got us back.
they always do.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
And so, all right. So that's NBC. Over at ABC. There's a few cancellations. That Kobe Smulders show got canceled where she's a detective or something, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, that's how popular it was that was canceled.
Yeah, there's just
if you don't know the title and we're not talking about it, yeah. probably not that good.
Yeah. No. And then Black-ish had a spinoff called Mixed-ish, which got yes. canceled after the first season, which there was some to do about that, the fact that that got canceled. The to do being that people expected that to at least get a second season. It did not.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that.
Yeah. And then
wasn't Zach Morris in that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
he has like long hair in it. It's kind of strange.
Sexy man. sexy man.
And so there's and then there's a bunch of other cancellations there too, but not people up in arms necessarily. American Housewife, which I watched the first couple episodes of that. We had screeners. That was a couple years ago going back, but that was with Diedrich Bader. Am I saying his name right? I always mess up his name.
You are, yep.
Yeah. and then a few other people that show got axed. That show had a good run, though. That was like on for five seasons. Yeah, I don't know. Broke the 100 episode mark. So good for them. But getting the rug pulled out kind of sucks. Fox, however, they were having some issues because they're kind of cleaning the road. They're cleaning house at Fox constantly lately. Like they don't. I think they basically have seven Gordon Ramsay shows. And then some random other, like now there's another, all their thing is there's just game shows and then 911, which is like their own like CSI Chicago PD thing that they have going over there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anything necessarily that people are clamoring for that got canceled. CBS, which this was a weird one that kind of like limped to the finish line, was Mom. Which was
with Allison Janney.
Yeah, which at the end, I guess it was just Allison Janney. I guess
yes.
Anna Faris left the show, so it was just Mom.
That was on for a while, though, right?
It was, yeah. I mean, it 170 episodes. It had definitely had a handful of seasons.
Yeah, that was a Chuck Lorre show. I thought that was fairly successful. That didn't end on its own terms. That just got canceled.
I think they finally ran to the. I think they finally got, but it kind of ended at like a whimper, where it was like. Like Anna Faris left the show and then went into the last season with Allison Janney kind of like limping to the end.
Kind of like how Misha Barton left the OC.
Yeah.
And then they had a terrible fourth season. anyway.
Yeah. And then MacGyver on CBS also got canceled, which was apparently I'm just more upset there that a MacGyver revival didn't do well. Because I felt like
listen, that I am thrilled that they are making a MacGruber series.
Yes.
Oh, it's a series?
They're bringing them back. Oh, it's a series. They're bringing it back. I cannot wait for that. Oh, my God. Forget MacGyver. It's all about MacGruber.
Yeah. And then I'll whimper out with this one. Supergirl got canceled at CW. But
that was on for a long time.
It was.
Too.
And it also bounced networks. Remember, it started at CBS and then it moved to CW and they realized all right, let's just make her like a teenage, like just, you know, make it more about teenagers. And they did that or something. I don't know. There's only I find the CW very I'm old enough now that I shouldn't get it, which is, I guess, a good thing. But like, there are so many weird shows on CW that connected like the DC universe that I'm like, I don't understand. Like they have Batwoman's on there. Batwoman, right? It is Batwoman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not yes. Batgirl.
No.
No, I think
she's a woman.
She's old. But you know, I will say this. They definitely found a genre that works for them.
Yeah.
They connected that whole like angsty teen DC universe. And they made it work. They had Green Arrow.
Yeah.
They had what's the other one? Had the Beast something, Man. You know, they found a whole series and it worked for them. So, you know, good on them.
Yeah. And then Batwoman was the one where Ruby Rose was Batwoman.
Like
randomly quit the series. And there was like kind of like someone's not saying anything here. Like there's no real answer here as to why she left the show. And it was called kind of under wraps. And then they just replaced her, which I don't watch the show enough. I don't watch the show, period. I don't watch the show to even understand how they would have replaced the main character from the show without rebooting it. But okay. But that's it. Not as many. I'll be honest. Not as many shows. People are like, "Why did that get canceled this year?" But it tends to be the shows.
Makes sense.
And it tends to be the shows on NBC that are always the ones that like they get people, and then everyone's like, "Why did you cancel that NBC? Why did you do that? Haven't you learned your lesson now?" So
I mean, the beauty of this is going to find second life elsewhere. I mean, everyone has a chance to get a new life and a new home.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Although Mr. Mayor, which is the latest project from the Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine folks.
I thought that was Tina Fey.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, pretty sure. Was Tina Fey and Robert Carlyle, the 30 Rock team.
Real? Okay, I messed that up. I thought it was. Oh, okay. I didn't realize
that's the
that.
One with Ted Danson, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bobby Moynihan.
Bibby Moynihan.
A couple other people in there.
Yeah. That was renewed for a second season.
That got
season.
Canceled too, or no?
No, good, it got renewed. Luckily,
leave on a high note.
That was the thing. I was worried. I was like, this show's gonna. It's NBC. They're gonna burn it off, and they're gonna like it's gonna be one of those shows we look back and be like, oh, why did they cancel it? But luckily, it actually got picked up. So
I'm good because it's kind of like the first season with like Parks and Rec and The Office. Like it didn't really hit its stride. Like it was funny. You could see potential, but as long as they have the second season to guarantee to flesh it out, it's going to get better. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. I mentioned the guys behind like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That show is coming to an end. I think this summer actually, but, Michael Schur, is he doing another show now? I felt like I saw him on his name attached to something somewhere.
I'm not sure.
Coming.
I have not heard.
I don't know.
But that's good news. I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah. That show is, which is an interesting one for that show because they're just like we can wrap this up now. We don't have to be police officers on a comedy TV show in 2021.
Not a good look.
No. And they're like, it's kind of hard to make jokes about this. So let's just end it now. So,
read the room.
Yeah. But good on them. I feel I'm like kind of happy for them. I still don't like what's his name from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Andy Samberg.
Yes.
Wait, but did you watch Palm Springs?
I didn't. But you know, here's the thing.
Wait, you didn't?
I did not. I'll go watch that.
Oh my gosh!
I heard good things.
You have to.
You
watch
really need
it.
To. You okay. really have to.
What? Will it make me like him?
Yes. Yeah,
it will actually.
That is your homework. Well, we'll discuss it the next episode.
Okay.
Yeah, it is one of the better movies that came out this year. It's fantastic.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess I have homework now. Okay. All right. I still forgot how to end the show, by the way. So
you just did.